It is such a joy to be here with you together today. What a beautiful day God has given us as your first park service of the summer here. And what an amazing spot. I am so glad to be able to join you in worship and to be able to speak to you today. Thank you, Phil, for the invitation. As many of you know, my brother John was married yesterday. And so John and Faith got married. It was incredible. It was pouring rain like an hour before their outdoor service, and then it cleared up. And it was beautiful, sunny skies. It actually was too hot. And then right after they kissed, it started drizzling. And so it was just incredible to see John and Faith get married yesterday. I do want to thank you all for warmly loving and welcoming my brother into the church in New Jersey. It was such a joy to see him get baptized 3 years ago, and to be growing and serving God here really has been amazing. And as you notice, it's just me here today. My kids desperately wanted to go see their best friends, Logan and Jules, rodeo in Hudson Valley. So that's where they are right now. But I'm grateful to be able to be here. You just get me, but I'll make the best of it. I do love this ministry. I love this region of the church. As most of you know, I spent the first 12 years being a disciple here in the New Jersey region. This is where I was raised spiritually and got to serve God for all of those years. And there are so many incredible, faithful men and women and families in this church. And so I'm so grateful that I got to be raised here and got to spend this time with you here today. Similar to as it says in Hebrews 12, I do not have time to talk about some of these families, the Ritters, the Craigs, the Ruperts, the Persings. There are so many families here that matter deeply to me and have had a big impact on me. And so this is a joy to be together with you all here. As you know, we led, Chelsea and I got to lead this little campus, YoPro region in the city from about 2021 to 2024. And then last August, we moved to go lead the South Coastal region of the Boston Church. And so that has been a great time. I'll share a little bit more about that in a bit. But what's amazing about that is we have some of New Jersey there with us. We've got Keenan Mitchell is our campus minister. Brett Persing is there with us. He serves on our worship team as a Persing would, you know? And then also moving up there soon for college is Lydia Persing as well. And then also Russ Murdoch's cousin, John Williams, is in that region with us there too. And so recently, accidentally, we had this like Jersey Boy Sunday. I didn't even do this on purpose, but Keenan was preaching. I was doing the welcome and announcements. Brett was doing communion. And so we kind of got to have this little Jersey Boy Sunday. Even I don't think anybody liked that except for us, but it was a lot of fun. John Williams liked it. That's who liked it. But it's been a blast, and I love having some of New Jersey and Massachusetts with us there. And so I heard that your theme is by faith, going through Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll be reading verse 32 here. Hebrews 11, verse 32 says, I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. Matt had some time to talk about Jephthah. And then it says, about David. And I'll stop there because today we are focusing on David. And I also do not have time to tell you about David. You know, it's surprising that he did so much in the Bible, but just kind of gets this quick, mention right here. And David really has grown to be one of my favorite characters in the Bible. My middle name is actually David, after my dad, who's after David in the Bible. So I'm once removed, named after David in the Bible, but I connect with him in that way. You know, and the truth is that by faith, David did a lot. He's one of the major figures in the Bible. And so, what do you pick if you're going to talk about what David did by faith? You know, David was a good shepherd, literally. He was a shepherd of a flock. He fought off lions and bears through his faith to protect that flock. We could talk about that. He stepped up when everyone else was afraid to confront the enemy, and he slayed Goliath. David passionately led Israel to many victories. He raised up a team of mighty men who also did amazing things. He had a powerful partnership with Jonathan. He was the father of Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. He faced extreme persecution from Saul, the king before him. He faced murder attempts. He had to live in caves and deserts and among other nations. He faced all this injustice and suffering with surrender and trust in God. David was God's chosen first king, not because of his outward appearance, but because of his heart. He's quoted later in the book of Acts as being a man after God's own heart. He was Israel's greatest king, and he's even used as a prefigure of the Messiah, right? When you hear about the Messiah, who is he in line of? He's in line of David. This is how David is used even to build up to Jesus, the Messiah. David faced conflict, failure, and dysfunction within his family. He faced those things within his leadership. David was also a poet. He was a poet, a prophet, and a musician. He wrote a huge portion of the Bible, many of the Psalms. How many of you love the Psalms? And we could thank David for most of them. Now, the Psalms are perhaps the part of the Bible that help us connect with God in a relatable human experience way more than any other part of the Bible. And David gave that to us. David also blew it big time, right? David had one of the greatest falls of any godly man in the Bible, into adultery, deceit, abuse, and murder, all also followed by the grief of a dead child. But then also by his faith, David responded when he was confronted on this. He repented, and then he kept going. And so in that, he's also one of the greatest examples of responding to God's grace. And so I do not have time to tell you about all of it. But all of that was by faith, was by his faith. And what is faith? Faith is a firm belief. Faith is confidence. Faith is loyalty and devotion to. And this is what David lived by in the Lord. And so for us today, for you sitting here today, for me, for us to see God's work, for you to fulfill God's calling for your life, what does it take? Well, you don't have to be perfect, amen? David was not perfect. You don't have to be the most talented. You don't have to be rich or poor. You don't have to be on staff. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the youngest. You don't have to be the oldest. You have to be faithful. It's by faith. You have to be faithful. You have to not give up and then let God work through that. Work through your faith. And so the title, the focus of my message today on David is to renew a steadfast spirit. By faith, to renew a steadfast spirit. And you could turn to Psalm 51, where this line is found, which was written by David. The word steadfast is used throughout the Bible. I've been reading the ESV for a while, which uses this word a lot. And the word steadfast is used to refer to God's love for us, that God has a steadfast love for us, but also used to talk about the kind of faith that we should respond to God with. And I want to say that steadfast, to be steadfast, is not a weak word, right? Like, oh, he's steadfast, she's steadfast. That's not a hang in there, you gave it a nice try word. To be steadfast is a strong word. It's a strong person, a faithful person. It means resolutely firm and unwavering. And so we are called to be steadfast in our faith and steadfast in our walk with God. And so David writes Psalm 51 after a victorious time in his life, followed by a very rocky and dark time in his life. And so you kind of see his response to both of those here, a good time, but then also a challenging time. And so to give you the context that we find Psalm 51, if you could follow me for a second here. In 2 Samuel, which is where we see David's life, in 2 Samuel chapter 10, the Ammonites, who were another people around Israel that they were dealing with, the Ammonites hire another nation, the Arameans, to fight Israel with them over basically a misunderstanding and misjudgment of David. And so David's with Israel, and the Ammonites have a misunderstanding, a misjudgment of him. They hire the Arameans, and they go fight against Israel. This conflict turns into war, and David wins. David and Israel wins. They have victory over the Arameans. And then in the next chapter, so they have this victory. And then in the next chapter, 2 Samuel 11, it says, in the spring, when kings go out to battle, i.e. what David should be doing, David did not. And it's at this time where David falls to a place that he never would have imagined with Uriah, Bathsheba, and with God. And soon after that, Naaman, one of David's advisors, confronts him. And then David writes Psalm 51 in response to being confronted on what just happened. And so 2 Samuel 10, the victory. Chapter 11, an incredible fall in David's life. And then Psalm 51 is David writing his response. And this would be a great psalm to read the entirety of this week. I'm just going to read some of it. But starting in verse 1, David writes, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." In verse 10, he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you." In verse 18, he closes saying, "May it please you to prosper Zion," God's people, "to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole." You know, when you understand the context of what David had done, and then you read this, you really hear his heart and his faithfulness. You know, first, David reflects on God's mercy. And that's always the right place to start. We respond to God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. And so he looks at God. He looks at God's unfailing love, God's greatness, God's grace, and he focuses his heart and his mind on that. And he says in verse 6, which I didn't read, but he says in verse 6, "God, you desired faithfulness." And it's so good in that to see that's what God expects from us. God doesn't expect constant highs. He doesn't expect constant victories. He doesn't expect perfection. He expects faithfulness. That's what God wants from you, is are you remaining faithful to me? Do you get back up? Do you keep going? And from that, he asks God, he says, "Create in me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." David didn't want to stay down. He wanted God to create this pure heart in him and to get back up. He asks God, "Do not cast me from your presence." Right? "God, I want to stay with you. I want to stay right with you. Help me forward. Help me through this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Right? Asking God to restore that joy of being right with God, of being saved, of being forgiven. And then we see that from that, David has the right heart of, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways. God, I will serve you. I will offer sacrifices. It will please you to build up the walls of your kingdom." Right, God? I want to go out to battle with the kings the next time. I want to serve you. I want to help build for you. And I know today is also the first day of collecting special missions, and that's such a great way to offer sacrifices to God. But it comes from this heart of seeing God's mercy, grace, and renewing a steadfast spirit within us. You know, in this psalm, we see David's repentance. And after David's repentance, he gets a chance to go back out there. And David does get back out there with a renewed, steadfast spirit. And so I want to read 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 26 to 31. You guys with me? And so we saw in chapter 10, the victory, chapter 11, the fall, Psalm 51, his response. And then in 2 Samuel 12, his next opportunity to live by faith. It says, meanwhile, Joab, who was, you know, the commander of Israel's army, Joab fought against Rabbah of the Ammonites and captured the royal citadel. Joab then sent messengers to David saying, I have fought against Rabbah and taken its water supply. Now muster the rest of the troops and besiege the city and capture it. Otherwise, I will take the city and it will be named after me. You know, this is really quite humble of Joab. He's like, look, we're doing pretty well here, but we need a little help. Can you come in, offer assistance? Let's get this victory. Otherwise, I might end up doing this and then it's going to be named after me instead of after you, David. So what does David do in verse 29? So David mustered the entire army and went to Rabbah and attacked and captured it. David took the crown from their king's head and placed it on his own head. It weighed a talent of gold and it was set with precious stones. David took a great quantity of plunder from the city and brought out the people who were there, consigning them to labor with saws and with iron picks and axes, and he made them work at brick making. David did all this to the Ammonite towns. Then he and his entire army returned to Jerusalem. Now, what do we see here is that this time David was called to battle, but he did not stay back. He mustered the troops, he answered the call, and he helped bring in another amazing victory. And in it, we actually see him literally recrowned again, almost like he is back in his rightful place as Israel's king, a faithful leader of God's people. You know, in all of this, and mainly in Psalm 51 that we read, we see that David realized where he was with God. I think David reflected and saw, wow, I got comfortable after this victory that I had. Maybe content with all the previous victories that he had had, and then he realized how far he had fallen and drifted from where God had called him to be. And then from that place of realization, he refocused on God's greatness. He refocused on God's goodness. He went to God to get his heart, his motives, his focus pure again, to get re-inspired, asking, God, give me a willing spirit so that I could build your kingdom. And by doing that, a story that could have continued to spiral downward, as many of Israel King's stories do, was turned around, and David faithfully went on to new battles and new victories. And in this, I see something we could relate to in our lives as well. You know, in our lives, we too will be tested. Every person sitting here this past year, sometime over the past few years, maybe in your personal life, in your family, in the church, in your ministry, everyone here has faced some challenge, some fall, some hit to your life. But I also believe it's true that everyone here at some point, maybe recently or sometime in the past, like David, also has seen great victories in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here today. And by faith in David, we see that both call for a steadfast spirit. Whether you're coming off of a time of victory or you're coming from a time of challenge, both call to remain steadfast in our faith, in our spirit. Now, I've seen in my life that times where we're tired, times we're discouraged, challenged, fearful, or hurt, these can be the times that lead to the most incredible times with God. If that's where we decide to go, it could lead to digging into God's word, to get help, to get perspective, to get understanding, to get strength, where we're trying to hear God speak to us. We're pouring ourselves out in prayer and turning to him in repentance. You know, some of my hardest times in life and as a disciple have led to me growing the closest to God. But that doesn't happen automatically. You have to decide that's where you're going to go with it. You're going to go to God. And that takes faith. It takes faith to go to God with the hardships. It takes faith also to go back to God after the victories and to keep relying on him after you've seen those things. And so this, and going to God, is where we fight for peace from God instead of from our circumstances, whether good or bad. This is where we wrestle to hand God our fears And then we ask him to use us and lead us where he wants to next. Psalm 112, verse 6 to 8, also written by David, says, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes." And I think David wrote this because he saw this in his own life. Now, one of the passages Chelsea and I hold to is Isaiah 26, verse 3. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." You know, these two verses call for this steadfastness in our heart and in our mind towards God. And one of the blessings that comes from that is security. And don't we need security as we go through things in life? And security comes from remaining steadfast in our trust and our closeness with God. It says those who do this have no fear. And in their end, maybe not during the things we're going through, but in the end, there is victory. And so we see in this that the faithful, those who live by faith, won't give up, won't be shaken. They keep trusting God. They have this faith that, no, God's got this. Actually, God's always had it. And so despite this situation, what is God going to do next? What's God going to do now through me, through this? And I've seen God work in this way in my life at different times and even recently. And, you know, I'll share for me the decision to move to another state, the decision to move from home this past year probably took more wrestling and more faith than any decision I've made so far in my life. But seeing God work on me through that decision and the time it took to make that decision, see God work on my heart, on my faith in him, my trust in him. And then now, 8 months later, to see God work through that has been such a blessing. And with that move, with that faith, has been this prayer, God, show me why this is what you led us to. Right? God, show me why. And I mean that in multiple ways. God, show me why in my heart and in my character. God, show me why in my family that I'm trying to faithfully lead. God, show me why in your church and in our work for you and in our life serving you. God, show me why this is what you led us to. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And it has been such a joy to watch God answer that prayer. You know, some of you have asked, and I thank you, how are the boys doing? How is the family? And honestly, the boys have been doing incredible. And life is not perfect. It never is anywhere, you know? But to watch them kind of settle into a new place, to watch our family grow closer through this adventure and working through the feelings, the newness, the new friends, the new relationships and all of those things. You know, the boys are settled. Bradley just turned 9. Tyler is 7, almost 8. They're finishing 3rd and 2nd grade in 2 weeks. I'm watching them grow spiritually. You know, they're in this community where we have this children's ministry where there's, you know, over 20 kids every Sunday around their age range, and they're building these incredible friendships. Every Sunday, they have kids from their school at church with them. And so to watch them saying, hey, I want this friend to come to church, and then we reach out to the parent, and they're bringing. Chelsea's studying the Bible with one of the moms of a friend from their church. You know, and so to see my boys, like, settling into a new place and the spiritual conversations we've had has been a joy to watch them do that. And you know, Chelsea and I praying, hey, God, use us in this new place. Use us to build your kingdom. And deciding, hey, we want to kind of, you know, have a little touch in all the different ministries, but we wanted to pour ourselves into a young families ministry and seeing other people with young kids become Christians. And already this year, we've gotten to baptize 2 young couples with young kids. And to see them, you know, as a family come into the Lord and their kids now be growing up in the church and building friendships with Bradley and Tyler has been such a blessing. One of those couples moved to Massachusetts from Brazil. At the time when we started studying with them last October, hardly spoke English. Our first Bible studies were Google Translate and, you know, going through. And then we found some disciples in another region who were Portuguese and so speaking. And so we pulled them in, and you know, and then now they're almost fluent in English, which is so incredible. But they did communion as a family together last week. They got baptized on January 1st, Junio and Fernanda, this couple. Another couple, Anthony and Misha, you know, she got baptized in January. Her husband, Anthony, got baptized about 3 weeks ago. And so to see families coming into the Lord together has been really encouraging. To work with Keenan and to watch him, you know, helping college students grow, mature, and baptize young college students has been such a joy to watch. You know, Dave Mitchell was one of the first people to mentor and help me in the faith. And then to work with Keenan and see him helping people has been such a blessing. You know, there was this other couple, and I'll be brief on this, but this couple, Paul and his wife Drew, who were in the church for almost 40 years, his wife passed away early last year. There was a couple they were reaching out to for over 30 years who came to church in the past, never became Christians. This woman, Joanne, and her husband were the ones they were reaching out to. Her husband passed away early last year. And so both of them lost their spouses. Paul reached out to Joanne and invited her back out to church again. She became a disciple. Then they started dating, got engaged, and then they just got married a few weeks ago. And so they're in their low 70s. And so they're just like amazed at God working. They have a renewed, steadfast spirit at this time in their life. You know, we saw two teen brothers get baptized on the same day together. You know, these two teen boys both go in one after the other. The mom had prayed for twins, didn't have twins, and then she got to baptize her two boys the same day together. So she said, God gave me a better set of twins, spiritual twins. We just saw this young boy baptized who was fostered by a family in the church who went on to adopt him, and then he became a disciple a few weeks ago. So far this year, in our region of about 190 people, we've seen 16 people make Jesus Lord and become Christians. And so that has been such a blessing. And so I see when you go to God in faith and find that renewed, steadfast spirit, there's a willingness, there's an eagerness to go claim some victories for him in your personal life and heart and character, in your family, in your area of service to the Lord, right? There's this reinvigorated focus on glorifying and walking faithfully with God, right? You hear and you see the opportunities God is calling you to. Like David, you hear God calling you, hey, I'm not done with you yet. I want you to go on this next exploit, to do something new, to do something great for God. And so you ask God, how can I build up the walls of your kingdom? What sacrifices, Lord, can I offer you? And so how is God calling you to renew a steadfast spirit? Where is he taking you by faith? And I want to encourage you, whether you're coming from a place of victory or you're coming through some challenging times, to do the spiritual work of focusing on God, of going before God, of letting God work on you, of asking him to work on you like David did, to renew a steadfast spirit within you. And then respond to God, to leave that place asking God for new dreams, right? To walk away with the faith where you're willing to try new things for God, to step out and do something faithful. Do something that excites you. Do something that takes living by faith. What is God calling you to with a new, renewed, steadfast spirit? You know, in Psalm 51, verse 1, I'll read again. It said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. And in verse 13, he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me. You know, in a second here, we'll pray for communion. But I do believe that each week, this time that we take the bread and the cup is meant to be a reminder of where we stood with God and then what God did to save us. And seeing each week God's grace in our life should renew this steadfast spirit within us. No, that's what David looked at, was God's mercy, his unfailing love, his great compassion, that he had blotted out David's transgressions as he has blotted out our transgressions. And he asked God to restore the joy of his salvation. And in communion, this is also a celebration. It's meant to be a somber time to reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross, but it's also meant to be a celebratory time to reflect on what Jesus did for us on the cross and to restore in us the joy of our salvation that renews a steadfast spirit within us and helps us, like David, to live by faith. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much for having me with you here today. Let's go to God in prayer for communion. Good morning, Father. God, we thank you so much that we get to come before you and ask you for your mercy, to not have to question whether you have an unfailing love for us, God, because before we have a steadfast spirit, you have a steadfast love for us. God, thank you for your faithfulness, for God loving us enough to come to earth to live a sinless life and then to die on the cross for us, God. Thank you, Lord, that we could see in David a life lived by faith. Lord, help us to live a life by faith as well. God, help us to ask you, God, to renew a steadfast spirit within us. God, that we would look at your mercy, your unfailing love, your grace, your compassion. And God, that that would give us a trust in you, a faith in you, a confidence in you, and a willingness, God, to serve you wholeheartedly with our lives. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for his body. Help us to live like David in response to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.